The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
A new study from the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland has suggested that cancer and cardiovascular problems are, I quote, almost a certainty for long-term vape users. John Crown is a consultant oncologist at St. Vincent's Hospital and he joins me now. John, where does this leave vapes as a tool for those who wish to quit smoking?
Thanks, Kieran. Well, I think there are two different issues here, and I think you're highlighting one of them very well. Vaping, I think at the moment can be considered a legitimate bridge off smoking for patients who are heavily addicted to smoking. We have really good long-term, nearly 80 to 90 years now, data showing the dangers of smoking in terms of cancer and circulatory risks and other health risks. So definitely, if people are currently smoking cigarettes, getting them off smoking is a huge priority. And it would appear that some people do find vaping as a helpful bridge for their nicotine addiction while they're giving up burned tobacco products. Vaping, however, I believe is of itself a very dangerous habit. It's a dangerous vapes or dangerous products. My own position is quite clear. And long term, I think these should be nearly medically regulated or pharmaceutically regulated by pharmacists. I don't think they should be sold willy-nilly. I don't think they should be sold under any circumstances to children. I think we should do everything in our power to discourage children from taking up vaping, both for the intrinsic risks of vaping and also by the reverse bridge that they provide onto burnt tobacco. Professor O'Shea from the College of Surgeons, I think, has done us a great service with his really clever research in which he highlights that there are a number of potentially dangerous chemicals in the vape products. And he goes into some of the details of the different flavors and the number of chemicals that are in them and makes the point that his work and work which they've done and also using artificial intelligence predicts an extremely high likelihood that there will be some cancer cases emerging specifically due to vaping. So these are all, I think, and circulatory risks. These are all very good risks for no one to take up vaping in the same way we think nobody should take up smoking. Though I think in 2024, for a cigarette smoker, the balance of proof suggests they're probably doing less harm if they transition to vapes on their way off nicotine addiction altogether. But certainly we should not be in any sense encouraging vaping in any other circumstance.
So should we be treating them as a society the same way we would treat kind of Nicorette or other nicotine gum, which you buy in chemists? You don't go down to your local newsagent and buy it.
That's what I believe, but I mean, unfortunately, we've allowed a situation to develop where they are being sold and big chunks of the retail trade and specialist retail shops have emerged, which do sell them. And it's quite clear that they're not confining their business to people that are, you know, medically transitioning off burned tobacco. They're selling to people that are, you know, casual users of vaping as a new recreational activity. So there will be howls of outrage and substantial opposition to any move to re-regulate, which we should have done in the first place, vapes, and to make them more, you know, professionally supervised. And I'm sure we'll get a lot of that outrage coming out now after this interview. But I think that's what we really should be aiming for. And I think it's not too late to do it. One of the journalists contacted me last year to take part in an article she was writing for the Mirror on the problem of teenagers casually vaping. And I was stunned at the numbers, the high percentage of kids. And I mean, talking to the adults, to the parents of teenage children, they're telling me it's nearly ubiquitous now.
You get the same when you speak to teachers, and I'm sure lots of people listening to the show are teachers or friends who are teachers or family, or they maybe speak to them in the schoolyard collecting kids. And certainly, like I'm talking about secondary school here, they will tell you it is just right across the board.
Sure. So I'm worried about it. I mean, I don't know if we know for definite that smoking, that vaping will be as dangerous as smoking burnt tobacco, but clearly it will be dangerous. I think Professor O'Shea has done a great service, and I hope his research is widely cited now, and that people do understand there is a scientific basis for our concerns about vaping. It isn't some kind of nanny statism or anything like that. I mean, Kieran, I made this point recently in another forum that most of the thrust of what we've done in tobacco control has been aimed at the consumer. We've said you can't smoke here, you can't smoke there, you can't smoke at work, you can't smoke in the work, you can't do this, you can't buy this, etc. So I think that's all right. We should do that. I think every one of those steps is correct. But we've let the companies off the hook. I mean, the real question here is, one can understand somebody sitting in their own living room and saying, I have a civil liberty, my individual right in my own house to smoke if I wish to, fully informed as I am of the risks. But tell me, Kieran, does anybody have the right knowingly to manufacture for profit something which is as bad for you as cigarettes are? And I don't think that right exists anywhere. I think this is a right we should never have allowed, and I think it's not too late to try and stuff that genie back in the bottle. What I think we should do is pick a date, give it maybe 10 or 15 years hence, and say, look, you know what, after that, it's just going to be illegal to manufacture or sell this product. I mean, there's a chemical called methylene chloride, which is found in paint stripper. And that was recently banned because it's in paint stripper, and you might possibly just inhale some of it. Mm. But my word, imagine making legal something which you take into your body, which if you use it exactly as you are instructed, exactly as it was designed to do, gives you a very high chance of having serious health consequences. It would never be allowed. And if tobacco was discovered tomorrow, it would not be allowed.
And that would be your preferred approach, kind of pick a date and after that point, we just no longer allow this. Because the other approach, and this is what they've done in New Zealand, is, you know, and you'll be aware of this, but for people listening, you know, nobody, basically, they'll kind of phase it out over time. Nobody born after a certain date can buy cigarettes. And obviously, you know, that date stays stationary. And as we move forward in time, it ultimately will encompass the entire population.
Well, I think that's an interesting approach, and no part of me is going to criticize any attempt at tobacco control, and I salute my New Zealand colleagues for doing it. I mean, I think that one does leave it open to the civil liberties issue, however, that somebody would say, why do I have a right at 23 that I don't have at 29, or vice versa? Whereas my own sense of the other one is, you know, we give them lots of notice. So look, 10 to 15 years from now, it will be illegal. So there you go. Tell the pension funds to stop investing. Tell the farmers, you know, there's a shortage of food in the world. All that land that's used for growing tobacco, stop, you know, retransition. It takes the land a couple of years to detoxify after growing tobacco, by the way. Detoxify the land, get it back into producing food. You know, subsidize the farmers to do it while they're making the transition. Tell the companies that make them, the factories, retool, change what you're making, make something else other than cigarettes, because what you're doing now will be illegal in 15 years' time.
John Crown, consultant oncologist at St. Vincent's Hospital. John, a pleasure as always, and thanks a million.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.